Commercial airline flights always seem to have the same cast of characters. The nervous flyer, the businessman working on his laptop, the tourist couple, the kid with the video game. And then there are those travelers that always get a window seat and spend hours with their noses pressed to the glass, staring down at the earth from 30,000 feet. Gregory Deacom is one of those travelers, and he's written a travel guide of sorts for his fellow earth gazers. It's called Window Seat, Reading the Landscape from the Air. Hello, Gregory Deacom, you out there?
Hi.
How are you?
Very well, thanks.
This book is full of these glossy color photos showing large swaths of the United States, farmlands full of those little green squares and white mountain peaks and hundreds of miles of rivers. How did you choose which pictures to use in this? You must not have used a picture of every single part of the United States.
Right, that would have been impossible. And it was actually tough to narrow it down. The book covers both the United States and Canada, and I tried to choose images that are representative not only of specific sites that you might see, like the Grand Canyon or Niagara Falls, but that are representative of regions. So if you're flying over something that a place, you know, such as the Midwest, for example, where there might not be a specific site that you're looking at, mm-hmm. I still think there's value in looking out the window because you can see evidence of the forces that brought the land to the shape that it's in today, the glaciers, the formation of mountains. You can see the patterns of development and settlement. All of it's right out there for you to see.
The pictures aren't actually taken from airplanes, though, are they? I mean, I've tried to take pictures from airplanes. They never come out like this.
These are satellite photos. Mm. They're taken from much higher than a plane flies. But the views that you see are pretty similar.
You were talking about the formation of the earth and the mountains and sort of glaciers and all these things. It also almost becomes sort of an homage to geology, no?
When you look at the ground from the sky, there are four categories of forces that have made it look the way it does. And geology is one of them. That's the underlying rock, the gigantic, timeless processes that have pushed everything together. Mm-hmm. But there's also the biological processes of where forests have grown and grasslands. And there's also water, the formation of rivers and lakes. And then there's human impact and mm-hmm. the roads and the settlement patterns and the buildings and the other plains, everything.
There's a section you talk about these different things in the book. And in fact, I'm leafing through here now. You say that anything that has a straight line or an angle was probably created by humans.
People love straight lines, and nature does not. Whenever you see something that's straight, it's really, really most likely something that people did.
Give me an example of this kind of thing that you would see from an airplane.
Well, a great example is the difference between a canal and a river. Hmm. They're both bodies of water, and they're often the same size, but canals are usually just arrow straight with angles in them, corners and mm-hmm. straight lines, whereas rivers meander and take their time as they cross the landscape.
Gregory Deacom, what about the days when you get up there in the air and all you can see is clouds?
It's unfortunately true that you see an awful lot of clouds when you're looking out the window, but even those are fascinating. In the back of the book, we have a section on clouds, and as you fly, especially if you're flying on a transcontinental flight, say mm-hmm. from Washington, D.C. to L.A. or something like that, you're going to pass over several fronts, several different bodies of air that are banging into each other. Mm-hmm. And the way that they bang into each other forms the clouds that you feel, that you see, and actually the turbulence that you feel. Mm-hmm. And so even that, even the geography of the clouds is just a fascinating thing to look out at.
And did this idea come to you in a flash on a flight?
It did. It came to me over Lake Erie on a flight from Boston to San Francisco.
And was it just a light bulb?
I have a degree in forestry from Yale. And as part of a forestry education, you spend a lot of time looking at aerial photographs. And you learn to understand what the world looks like from the air and what different patterns mean and how they got there. And so I was just talking to my seatmate, just talking about the different things that were out the window. And she was just fascinated because she was one of those people who always, was interested in looking out the window and yet didn't have the tools to be able to unpack it and really understand it or read it. It's sort of an alphabet. And sort of in the middle of that conversation, I said, or she said, I don't remember which, someone should write a book about this. And there you go, 5 years later.
Do you have a copy of the book with you?
I do.
Would you read for me the first paragraph of the introduction?
Okay. Taking a commercial passenger flight is one of the unheralded joys of life in the modern world. The food might be utilitarian, the seat cramped, and your neighbor annoying, but the sheer pleasure of contemplating our planet from 35,000 feet in the air is worth any price. A century ago, nobody on Earth could have hoped to see this view, and yet it's yours, free, with every flight you take.
You know, I love this paragraph because it really got me into this mode of thinking, it's special and incredibly new for humanity to be able to look at the Earth from so high up. And we take it as such an everyday kind of thing.
Yeah, it's stunning. It was just 100 years ago that the Wright brothers had that tiny, tiny little flight. And they didn't go any higher than you can get to by climbing on the roof of a house on that first flight. And now, you know, you just hop in a plane, fly across the continent. You're flying several miles in the air, reclining in a relatively comfortable chair with a headset. It's fantastic.
Gregory Deacom comes to us by way of WOMR in Provincetown, Massachusetts. He wrote the guide Window Seat, Reading the Landscape from the Air. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
You can see pictures from the book Window Seat at npr.org.